We are 1 week away from what is going to be a very important day in our city right now. Probably a very important day in our city's history as well. 1 week from today, Calgarians go to the polls and the November 13th plebiscite to determine whether or not the city goes forward with Calgary 2026 and bidding for the 2026 Winter Olympics will take place. And I'll tell you this, anytime that Pinder and I have talked about this, it has blown up the text line. Anytime we have gotten into conversations about it, it has turned into a situation where the boss is getting phone calls, and you know, people want to have their say. And our listening audience runs the gamut from, you know, economic situations, in terms of single family, in terms of having a larger family.
There's the two females as well.
Exactly. The two ladies.
Yeah,
who
it's primarily
to the
male.
It's a very male.
Other than that, a very diverse demographic.
But it's certainly a big time topic. So we thought, and the boss goes, well, it's been our hit record,
yeah,
so we should probably
play
do
that
something
again about
it. So we decided to do this from 2 until 4 o'clock as Pinder and Steinberg is underway. We thought that we would devote a couple of hours solely to Calgary 2026 coverage, and for the next hour we are going to engage a couple of panelists, have a nice balanced conversation. We've got one from the yes side, one from the no side, and after 3 o'clock we're going to open up the phone lines and get your thoughts, react to the conversation, and just get your thoughts as to what you're thinking, where you're leaning, and why heading into the November 13th vote. So my name is Pat Steinberg, his name is Ryan Pinder. Let's introduce our two panelists. First of all, from the Yes side, a volunteer with Yes Calgary 2026, Emma May is here with us. Emma, thank you very much for being with us today.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
And to her broadcast left is representing the No side from No YYC Olympics, Aaron Waite is with us as well. Aaron, thank you very much for doing this today.
Thank you for having us.
Have you had a view like this for any of these chats before? I mean, what a
panoramic,
dazzling, yeah.
Blue
fabulous
skies.
Cinder block.
And if a bomb goes off, it conveniently doubly serves as a bunker,
yep,
which is nice.
We'll be safe, guys. We will be safe. Let's get into it. First of all, let's maybe frame the conversation starting on either side. So, Emma, why don't you go first and kind of state your position and why you believe Calgary 2026 is good for the city and good for Calgarians.
I came to this from the perspective of being around here in 1988, so I was 16 years old, and I remember the Olympics at the time. I remember going through this period of economic crisis before that where your friends and neighbors were losing their houses. It was a really tough time in the city. It was not good times, and we did the bid for the Olympics, and then we rolled into the 1988 time frame, and it was amazing. What it did for the city was completely transform it. The energy shifted in the city. We believed in ourselves again. We showcased the city to the world in a way that we really hadn't before. And we created a legacy that's lasted us for 30 years. So we had an incredible experience last time. We did it our way. Has the Olympic movement changed? Yeah, it has. But I think we can do it our way again. So I came at it from this perspective of, you know, things aren't great in this city right now. We kind of all know that. But this was an opportunity that we took on before, and it was an opportunity that really, you know, transformed the city. So for us, an Olympic legacy is actually on brand for us,
mm-hmm,
right? This is something that Calgary has done before. We've done it well. We have 87% of our facilities already constructed. We've actually had, you know, perhaps one of the most transparent bid processes ever, although it really didn't feel like that. And it didn't feel like that for a lot of reasons. Anytime you're negotiating a deal between three levels of government, it's going to be ugly. You know, I worked in government for a while before, and so know that firsthand. It's not a pretty situation when you're sort of doing those things. And anyway, we got through that, and we ended up with a deal before us that I think is a really good deal.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a deal that brings, well, it is a deal that for, you know, $390 million in Calgary money brings in over $4 billion in outside money to be spent in this city. And then we move forward from there. So I am 100% on board with this. At first, I was a little nervous about it around, you know, what the investment was going to be, from especially when it came down to those final days. I've always said I've never really been a yes at any cost.
Mm-hmm.
but I think that final number that we got on the table is a good deal for Calgary. So I'm supportive of this. I think the energy that it brings to the city is fantastic. I think the actual investment that it brings to the city is fantastic. And I think the opportunity that presents us on the global stage is something that we, that, you know, we should take up.
And then Aaron, on the other side, your thoughts as to why this isn't a good idea and why you would be on the no side for Calgary 2026?
Well, there's lots of people with different views on why they're saying no. I have my own, and mine really tie to the IOC. But a bunch of us who got together early in this process felt that instinctively that this wasn't the right project for Calgary now. And we just have that concern that, you know, with office vacancy at 27%, and we're learning today from City Hall the impact of that on property values and what that's going to do to property taxes. That kind of problem is not fixed by an Olympics. I'm a real sports fan. I love sports. I watch every minute of the Olympics. I am happy to cheer on our athletes, and I'm excited by watching sports. But we can do that and cheer our teams on the world stage and not be a host city. It's really that host city contract that I have real concerns about. And that all ties to the IOC and their issues. And so for lots of people that have joined us, it really is that cost issue, the cost overrun concern. And then we've heard from the federal and provincial governments that they will not cover cost overruns. Our city council committed to not have those cost overruns land on Calgarians. As it stands now, those do, and that's a concern. And I think on top of you know, the downturn we have been weathering, that's not a good thing. So again, fully support our athletes, want to support our Olympic teams and our Olympic sports, but let's support them by supporting them to go perform in other cities.
Well, let's start there, because one of the things that has been most confusing for me throughout this whole process has been determining, okay, what counts in some minds as a cost overrun and what doesn't count as a cost overrun. And what we had John Furlong in here last week, and he talked about some of those same things. What counts as an Olympic cost and what doesn't count as an Olympic cost? So Aaron, I'll ask you first, and then if you guys kind of want to go back and forth on it, just what are we talking about when calculating cost overruns, and what counts as actually to the budget and what would be in some minds outside of the budget?
I think that's a perfect question. There's two parts to that. So you can look at the budget just for running those sports and the actual sporting event, and you can isolate just those revenue and expenses, and you can make a case for saying the project came out as on balance, right? And that there weren't cost overruns. But the fact is, if you're the host city and you live in that host city, if there are cost overruns, even if they're not related to the sport, but they're more generally related to what it takes to put on the event, you're still carrying those as a cost. So for instance, and there's a lot of talk about security costs. Vancouver's were $1 billion. People involved with the Olympics will say, no, they weren't. They were less than that. But what happened was there was a budget number for security around the Olympic venues. They realized people were elsewhere besides the Olympic venues. Vancouver police had to step up security and cover everywhere else. That's not technically an Olympic cost, but it was part of the cost burden carried by Vancouverites. And so that got to $1 billion. So it may be an excellent bid book. There may have been really solid work to really define those costs and understand those costs. But the fact is, when you put on that event, there additional costs are part of it. And so when those costs are there, those fall on the taxpayers in that host city to cover. And so that's, so you can parse whether that's an Olympic cost or a different cost. Bottom line is, it's an impact that event has, and it ends up having to be covered.
Mm-hmm. Emma, a rebuttal on that?
Yeah, well, okay, so there's a lot of things to break down here. So first of all, let's get a frame on what is already in the budget. So we have to remember we actually have $1.1 billion as a contingency built into this budget already. So, I mean, that's a huge contingency part that's built into this. Secondly, when we look at the actual cost overruns, most cost overruns on Olympics are basically about capital projects, right? So it's about building stuff. And so when people talk about, well, when you look at Sochi or you look at Brazil, you cannot compare the city of Calgary to places like Sochi and Brazil. You know, we are not run by an autocracy that's going to decide that they're going to build like 7 different event arenas that we need, you know, totally different things on. But that's not what's happening here. What's happening here is that we actually have a city that already has 87% of the venues built. Right? So when we go in here, we're looking at what is it that we need to build. We're going to do rehab on a bunch of our facilities that are already in existence, and then we're going to make sure that we get this field house project done. So that's what's actually included in the bid right now. The field house is estimated to cost about, I think, about $300 million, $320 million anyway. Now, when you actually step back and you say, okay, well, what's the risk then of us actually building some of this stuff? Like, what is that risk? How do we assess that risk? We talk about the risk of cost overruns. Well, we can assess that risk by looking at how it is that we've just built projects. So the city of Calgary has just completed a major library project, and we completed that project $10 million under budget, and we completed that project early, or on, like, pretty much on time. So, you know, we can't sort of, to step back from this and say, and compare us to all of these other jurisdictions isn't fair. We have an incredible track record, and that is the lens that should be applied on this. So not only do we have a great track record, we also have a $1.1 billion contingency fund built into this. Now, in terms of the security costs, first of all, Vancouver is a port city. Right, so the security issues that look at Vancouver are totally different. You've got ports of entry all over the place. We are a landlocked city, and the budget that was produced by for this was produced by the RCMP and was produced by the City of Calgary Police Service. It probably is like the equivalent of, you know, Calgary policing for like a whole year anyway, but they've come to the table and they've said, these are our expertise. We went and looked at Vancouver. That was 10 years ago. We understood what happened there. We understood where the cost overruns were, and this is the budget that we're putting on the table for you now. So do we have faith in our police services in coming up with this kind of budget? I say that there's evidence that we should have faith in them.
What is the total number? Just because I don't have the top of my head.
You know what? I can't.
For
the top of my head, I can't remember.
$450 million in the bid.
Yeah. Okay.
And it was $1 billion in Vancouver.
Yeah, and their original estimate was much under that, as noted.
More than doubled.
So when we're talking about where are, and I'll ask you both these questions, because where are, Emma, you go first. Where are the dangers of cost overruns here? Like when we
dangers of cost overruns here really are in adding projects. So let's be clear about that, right? When you look at Vancouver, there are certain things, and actually this comes into a conversation about the arena topic, which is part of this conversation too, right? I know the arena is a new entertainment center is a big plus for Calgary. It's
and
something
just to be specific, yeah. We're talking about a 6,000 seat arena, or we're talking
about it, because I think that I think there's a few things around this that should be that we can talk about, right? I know there's lots of people who are upset that a new arena is not included in the actual bid book. So on that, what we need to look at is we say, okay, so if you look at Vancouver, the Sea to Sky Highway was not included in the first the updates to all of that were not included in the bid. The Canada Line C-Train expansion, mm-hmm. and the line to the airport and things like that. Those were not actually included in the initial bid. And the reason why some of these projects are not included in an initial bid package is because the winning bids are the bids that don't shove a bunch of sort of external projects into an Olympic bid. So the IOC nowadays is looking at things saying, well, what is it that these cities are building? We don't want to actually encourage anymore this kind of Sochi type, you know, craziness in terms of overbuild. So when they go back to you know, I think Los Angeles actually got awarded the Olympics, and they're actually doing a no-build Olympic bid. Right, where all of the venues are being reused, right? So that's sort of the trend now. So in terms of actually creating a winning bid, the goal is to actually put forward a bid of like, we can deliver these Olympics and this is what we need to build. Now, as a community, we then step back and say, well, what are these other things that maybe need to happen? Now, so the arena, the entertainment center, and a new Saddle Dome, the new big sort of thing that's being discussed, is a separate topic from the bid right now. And there's lots of people who want it in the bid, but it isn't in the bid. Does that mean that it's not going to happen? No, and that's a separate discussion that needs to happen between council, because that's something that probably the city needs. I mean, I know there's kids on the highway today driving up to Edmonton in the snow to go see Drake, right? Like, we don't want that to happen. But keeping it outside of the Olympic process, A, means that if the Olympic bid goes down for whatever reason, we don't lose the arena as part of that. So wrapping it up in that probably isn't a great idea to begin with.
Can I just jump in really quickly?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Everything you said is spot on in terms of like massive infrastructure projects added after the Vancouver bid. Convention Center is another as well. But just one, no, is it fair to go to Calgarians and say it's going to cost you $370 million and then let's say you get the games and all of a sudden these billion-dollar infrastructure projects are added later? It seems
I don't think they should be added later. Those should be separate conversations that actually that City Council and Calgarians have.
Right.
If it's not in the bid book, then you're really not voting on it and it shouldn't be taken up as something that's included.
Okay.
So Could I just comment on the cost overrun piece? It's just interesting that Tokyo is a year and a bit away from hosting the Olympics, so Tokyo 2020, and they had a Auditor General report on their Olympics a year away, and their now Summer Olympics are always different, a whole different scale, but they went from $7.3 billion budgeted to $25 billion. $5 billion of that were for facilities that exist that just needed an upgrade, and that's $5 billion of cost overruns. So I worry that just updating facilities, I mean, any of us who've done renovations, it's the same thing where you try to add things or you try and do, while you've got the roof apart, let's do something else or whatever. So there is still that potential for project creep and to add things to it. I think the cost overrun risk isn't gone just because we're doing upgrades. I think those are still a risk and something to consider. These are huge projects, and so the bigger the project, the longer that timeline, the more things can change as you go. So I do think that has to be allowed for.
Yeah, and I mean, there is always a risk that we do that can happen. I think, and that's why I say, look at our record. We have a good record. We've done it before.
But to respond to the library point, I absolutely trust Calgary to take on any major project and do a good job. This isn't about whether I think Calgary could do this. I have no question of our capacity or capability. But when the IOC is involved, and this again comes back to a Tokyo experience,
right.
Instead of the library being our library built for us, if they had run into trouble, they could have delayed the opening and managed costs. You can't do that. The bid book includes the dates that the Olympics will actually take place. Every supplier involved in the processes knows that. And so that's where you run that danger that, like Tokyo did, you start running up against your deadlines. And if you are running late, the only choice you have is throwing money at it. And so we all know that, you know, in project management, something has to give. And if your timeline can't change, then you end up spending more money.
So, and I would imagine that it would be a different answer from both of you, but I'll ask it to you both. Emma mentioned the $1.1 billion contingency fund. Is that enough in your eyes to cover potential cost overruns in this?
Two things on that. You know, if security went the way of Vancouver, then you've blown through a good chunk of that contingency before you've done anything else. So that doesn't give me a lot of comfort, especially when the last round of the bid lowered some of the numbers that are in it. And I just worry if those are low-balled numbers in any way, you know, again, it just increases the odds of those going up.
And Emma, could you follow up on that? Because I believe it was, what, $130 million disappeared in terms of funding via provincial federal when there's a new agreement, and that was apparently a conversation with RCMP that happened.
Yeah.
What changed in the security they offered or the price of the security they offered that you could save $130 million and essentially overnight?
That they didn't need to house, I think it was as many as 1,000 units. They didn't need an extra 1,000 housing units for the security, so they didn't need to bring people in and house them was the issue,
and that made sense to add up to $130 million,
I guess. Yeah,
Okay. Yeah. By the way, it is Emma May, who is a volunteer with Yes Calgary 2026. She is representing the Yes side. Aaron Waite is from No YYC Olympics and representing the No side of things. One of the biggest questions that I have, still being undecided and forming my opinion as to where I want to go on this, is, and Aaron talked about the recycling of venues. And while in some senses I think that that's really, really sensible and really, really feasible, the Olympic Oval, for instance, still hosts world-class events on a yearly basis and is one of the best facilities in the world. But I take a look, I believe it's $370 million budgeted for some refurbishing, and I am a frequent at McMahon Stadium, and I got to be honest with you, I can't see $370 million just to McMahon Stadium making it so that it is Olympic quality. And so that's where I start to become a little bit more skeptical on some of the numbers, Emma, is because I look at it and I say, that seems a little low to, and when we talk about cost overruns, that's why my spidey senses start tingling. Because,
well, it's not a promise to remake it, right? Like, mm-hmm. So it's an upgraded facility. It's not a promise to take it down and build it up from, you know.
Correct. I just don't
know.
But it
sounds expensive just for a coat of paint, though, doesn't it?
Well, and I just don't know if the place is really,
or
if refurbishing really makes it so it is the caliber that should be in this city. Like, it should have been demolished 25 years ago. And that's why that's my, probably the biggest red flag to me in the whole conversation is that.
So do you want a new one then?
I don't know. I mean, yes, ideally I do. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. You know what I think you're saying? You end up with these bids. You're catering to what the IOC wants in a bid. You're not necessarily defining what Calgary needs and wants in that, because you're driving it to what the IOC, it's their event, right? I'm not saying that as a criticism. It's their event and they're setting the terms. And so if you really looked at all our venues and facilities in the city and you had your own list of priorities, they may be different than what's in the bid book, because that bid book is written to please the IOC. And a case in point, interestingly, having read Frank King's memoir, mm-hmm. as my homework in this little volunteer project, in the first chapter, it starts in the late 70s, and he mentions that the number one facility need in Calgary is a field house. And so they went through that whole process, got to the end of a very successful Olympics, and didn't end up with the number one Calgary need, which was a field house. Here we are talking about 2026 maybe having a field house. So there is a process in these where...
Well, it is having a field house because it is in it.
So should be, yes.
So it was in 88 as well. Yeah. And so the only thing is you end up with things, to your point about McMahon, what McMahon really needs and what's the right thing for the city. You end up doing something that may not be what the city needs, but you're doing it to meet the IOC's bid document.
Well, and just to answer your question, Emma, like I just don't think a third of $370 million turns McMahon Stadium.
That's not the legacy you're looking for.
Well, yeah, I'm not looking for something that lasts another 15 years of a place that should have. That's kind of what I'm saying.
Right.
So, ideally, well, yes, and you I know, would like a new
it's
one.
It's interesting because what happened with. There is a. It is actually a conservative bid that's been put forward, right? And I think at first there were a lot of people who were sort of looking at it and saying, you know, I want a conservative bid. I don't want us to spend a ton of money. I want this to be like a reuse things. I want to take that approach. And then, you know, the bid came out and people were like, but where's my train to the airport? Where's my new rink? Where's my this? I want McMahon. I want all of it. Right. And so that is the question of creep. Right. And it is about being conservative. And so it is about sitting there and saying, okay, well, you know what, if we're going to do this and we're going to attract all of this money, right. Because really what it comes down to is we've got, you know, $1.5 billion of federal money coming into this city with this bid. That money would not be coming to this city for anything else. And don't kid yourself, the feds aren't going to tax you less if we choose not to do this, right? So here's an injection of some money into the city that we can pay into getting these things done. There's $700 million coming from there. We've got, I think, $700 million in cash coming from the IOC. We've got the ticket sales revenue. So this is a way for us to take our $390 million that we've got invested in this and leverage that to get as much of this stuff done as we can under that umbrella. Is it going to check everybody's list? Hell no. It just won't, right? Unless
can't
we get
it. Right?
You can't please everyone. So what's been presented is a conservative bid, a bid that refurbishes our facilities as best we can. It has prioritized the field house and put that on the, you know, really up there at the center of it. And the hopes are that the city, I mean, my hope is that the city and you know, the Flames owners and stuff come to agreement on that, on the arena facility, certainly is a separate conversation.
Let's do this.
Do a break now?
Yeah, let's do a quick break. We have done a really good job of clearing out a lot of our inventory, as we like to call it in the radio business. Yeah. So a quick break. We'll come back. We've got Aaron Waite from No YYC Olympics. We've got MMA from the Yes Side and the Yes Calgary 2026 campaign. We are just throwing out questions, and that's the main thing. And I think that is the most important part of any of these conversations. Ryan or I asking a question is not necessarily a criticism. It's more just we don't know the answers, and we're looking to get those questions answered before we go and make a vote.
When we come back, we have been given a number repeatedly, and I'll ask whether it's a fair one to give Calgarians or not as we continue our Olympic discussion. The plebiscite in a week's time. You are listening to our Olympic coverage on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Exactly 1 week away from plebiscite day, Calgary 2026, and hey, there is a lot riding on this plebiscite in 1 week's time. Does City Council continue with the Olympic bid process for Calgary 2026, or does it end in 1 week's time? Pinder, Steinberg, along with you. We've got Aaron Waite from the No Side, from No YYC Olympics. We've got MMA from the Yes Side, a volunteer on the Yes Calgary 2026 bid. So,
by the way, yeah. I believe polls are open today in terms of the
advanced
voting.
Polling
today and tomorrow. Yeah. You can find that information online. You need to know what ward you're in or throw in your address, but that information is available if you aren't around or you're busy next Tuesday.
Go right into it, because this is an important topic that we need to get into, I think.
From the conversations we've had, both sides haven't exactly, and maybe this is just extreme voices, loved some of the tacks of the other side. And a number that I continue to see trotted out by Bidco 2026, which we should note, Emma, is not who you're a part of. You're for Yes Calgary 2026, and there's no economic affiliation that we
there
know?
There is zero economic.
Okay.
So we're totally, we are not taxpayer funded, just
right.
So everybody knows. We're
and
like
Bidco
we're private donation funded.
Okay.
Yeah, so we're a volunteer organization mm-hmm. that people in the community have stepped up to support.
Bidco has continued to trot out a 10 times Calgary investments ROI. Is that fair?
I don't want to get into whether it's fair or not. I don't.
Is it accurate?
I don't. You know what? I don't actually know. And I'm going to be perfectly straightforward about that, right? I come at this from the perspective of when I look at the actual bid itself, Calgarians are paying 14% of the total cost of this Olympics. And so for our $390 million, we're getting over $4 billion invested into this city. I look at that number and I think that's great. I know that we're going to get job creation made out of this, even in the short term, in terms of like actually refurbishing all of the facilities, in terms of the games, in terms of the lead up to this. I think it's unfair to... You know, there's lots of economists look at this all the time and they can say, okay, is there this huge sort of job creation thing that comes out of sporting events at the end of the day, right? And I think you were going to have Trevor Toome on, and he said before, you know, he questions that. Now, my perspective on this is actually, it's more of a nebulous perspective, really, which is around what the idea of brand and global exposure is for this city. And when you actually look at what happened in Vancouver post-Olympics, since the Olympic Games, and they were, I mean, if we all watched those games, Vancouver was highlighted around the world in what's called really earned media. Right? And what better advertising for anybody is there than earned media? So earned media is when you get sort of free, not free, but you get the press comes out and they highlight your thing, right. And it's like free advertising, right?
You're not paying for good words to be said about you.
You're not paying for good words to be said about you. So what better earned media is there for the city of Calgary than to have the entire globe paying attention to us? I think it's like, I think there's a stat that says about like 50% of the world at the time pays attention to, you know, media focuses on the Olympics. So there is no better, I mean, we couldn't actually go and pay for that kind of an advertising dollars, right? Like, we could not, if the city of Calgary and Calgary Economic Development wanted to actually go and spend the ad dollars on that kind of a spend, it would be actually impossible. It would, you know, they'd never be able to do it. So this is a huge opportunity for us to put the city, to reframe what our global brand is again, to get out on the world stage and say, you know what, this is the city of Calgary. So since Vancouver hosted the Olympics, what they've managed to do was they've attracted now tons and tons of U.S. tech companies have actually moved up to Vancouver and have opened these offices. So 7 years later, we've got Apple opening a 60,000 square foot office in downtown Vancouver. And the lead up between that has been incredible. So actually Vancouver now has some of the lowest vacancy rates there are. Salt Lake City totally rebranded itself during its Olympic bid. Right before that, it was known sort of as this like Mormon hub where, I don't know, like people wore special underwear and it was like a right, it was boring, nobody drank coffee, nobody drank beer. And they've totally rebranded Salt mm-hmm. Lake City post Olympics, right? They seized upon that opportunity and they rebranded. And now they are like the sporting mecca, right? And people go there all the time. The property has gone up. The vacancy rates are down. So these have been really good experiences. Now, can they trace exactly that sporting event dollar to, you know, an outcome in specific job creation? Not really. It's a bit difficult. But there are trends there which we see. And that was a trend that also happened in Calgary. So when we talk a lot about, too, I mean, people here are really nervous about our property taxes. And that's a really important concern for this city. We've got a 27% vacancy rate downtown. There's probably, you know, until we change that, there's probably a guarantee that some property taxes will be going up. Because it's difficult. The way city budgeting works is difficult. So when we look at this, we say, well, what are we going to do in order to change that, right? How are we actually going to start attracting different businesses to the city? How are we going to diversify? How do we put ourselves out on this global stage in a way that is completely different? How do we say, you know what, we're going to be the most inclusive Olympics ever. We're going to be actually the first no-waste Olympics. In fact, we're going to have our Indigenous population front and center and participating in this Olympics. And they've actually really stepped up and are front and center at BIDCO and actually on our team as well. And then we've also got, you know, in terms of accessibility, we're going to be one of the world's most accessible Olympics. So this is an opportunity for us. I don't like tying it to this 10-to-1 thing, but I do think that there is plenty of evidence out there that this presents an incredible opportunity for the city of Calgary.
Aaron, would you like to rebut?
For sure. Again, lots in each of these questions and answers. And I appreciate that answer to talk more cautiously of the economic benefits because, you know, that I think that's very responsible to have a moderate answer to that. There's a whole point of view on the Olympics and where it really is in its reputation today for all kinds of reasons. Pyeongchang had the lowest viewership. Those numbers have just come out. Viewership tanked for Pyeongchang. So, you know, the Olympics is suffering in terms of its brand and its viewership. You have cities in the U.S. like Denver and Boston, both, you know, well known for saying no to the Olympics. Both have transformed. Denver especially is an excellent model for Calgary in terms of a city that's transformed its economy, changed its reputation. It did that by saying no to the Olympics. If we are looking at new economy and IT kinds of futures, particularly among engineers and IT folks, there is truly no interest in the Olympics. Like that, you know, if that's the people you're trying to attract, those are people not interested in the Olympics. The kind of city building things we can do in this process in terms of accessibility and those kinds of things, you can, you know, again, you don't need the IOC to do those things. So, and it frustrates me to talk about things like accessibility because being accessible also has a lot to do with cost. So my day job is working in the disability community and we support about 125 families, all of whom live on our low-income people. They've never even been in the Oval. They can't afford to even go in the Oval. So you know, they're not exactly taking ski lessons or being able to use those facilities. So in terms of inclusiveness and accessibility, you know, I'm not sure you want to use the Winter Olympics as your model for that, because there are not that many Calgarians who will benefit from this.
And so just to get right back to the question, people have joined us in the last 5 or 6 minutes, the comment of 10 times return on investment that BIDCO would trot that out to Calgarians, fair or unfair from your perspective?
No, that makes no sense. And I spent a whole career writing annual reports and doing financial work writing. So, there's no way that 10 to 1 is supportable.
So that's a really important question about that number, because, yeah, I think we've all heard it. We've got MMA, who is on the Yes Calgary 2026 side. We've got Aaron Waite with YYC Olympics in studio with us as we continue to the top of the hour. So on the other side, what I think is a really important topic to talk about, and I think it's important to hear from both of you, is, okay, we've talked about what the economic benefits could be and, you know, what the good – what about – and I'm a taxpayer. Ryan's a taxpayer. I'm a homeowner. So what are we talking about for a potential burden? What are we talking about for, you know, the individual Calgarian? What type of impact is going forward with this bid and maybe hosting the Olympics going to have on? I'm not just talking about me, the Calgarian, but on the individual Calgarian.
Well, I think we have to turn the city around, right? And we've been faced with no. From everybody else in the world, right? People keep saying no to our projects, no to pipelines, no to this, no to that. Here's an opportunity to say yes to ourselves, you know, and this is an opportunity for us. Like I said, we're going to get $4.4 billion of outside money coming into this city, and it's going to cost us $390 million. So without getting into this 10 to 1 thing, that in and of itself is a leveraged investment, right? So we can get things done, we can change the energy in this city, we can present ourselves on the global stage in a way. I mean, I know Aaron says they don't care about the sporting activity, but it's not necessarily about the sporting activities that are exposed during the Olympics. It's about sort of this whole story of telling of the city. And when you actually look at it, I mean, the time zones that have the best actual like Olympic coverage are the ones that are in North America. Mm-hmm. You're gonna get, you guys are in broadcasting, so you're just gonna get way better. You're just gonna get way better ratings when you're
when you're in North America.
And we're hearing right now that you know the conservative bastion of Salt Lake City and the Romney family are already lining up for 2030. Right, they remember what a great experience it was for their city, and they remember that it actually led to resurgence there. So they're in for it.
Well, and I guess what I was getting at, maybe I didn't phrase it as clearly as I should have, but like in terms of property tax hikes, in terms of what I will actually feel as the Calgarian, what are we talking? And I know that you can't quantify that exactly, but how much of a burden are we talking about for the family, for the Calgarian?
I don't think I can give you a specific number. I haven't seen one.
No, and I know that. But
yeah.
Here's
the deal. We have 27% vacancy rate, right? We're going to be facing property tax increases probably, whether we do this or not, right? I mean, that's actually the truth of the matter. So here's an opportunity for us to take a flyer on something that actually has proven out for us before. It proved out for Vancouver. It's proved out for a number of other cities. And it is on brand for Calgary. This is who we are. When you travel the world and you talk to people about the city of Calgary, they say, oh, you guys did the Olympics, right? I mean, this is a branded thing for us. This is something that we're really good at and we can get even better at. And it's an opportunity. I think it's an opportunity that's really almost too good. Well, I don't want to say too good. I will never say that, because you know what? We are in a position here with Yes Calgary where we're asking Calgarians to do the work and to make an informed decision. And this isn't something that we are entitled to. This isn't something BIDCO is entitled to. This is something that we believe is the right decision, but we have to actually earn people's trust on that.
The question about what this means to individual Calgarians, I do think there's a whole discussion that's been missing, and that's opportunity cost. what aren't we doing if we choose to take on the Olympics? And that's my concern. We have the legacy from 88, and we're making great use of it. And full points, that's fabulous. You know, and we can continue down that path and we can build on that without necessarily being an Olympic host. So to say it's the Olympics or nothing, and to say that, you know, by saying no to hosting the Olympics, that, you know, that's somehow, you know, dangerous or a real problem for Calgary, I don't buy that. Our no is actually a really optimistic view of Calgary. I think we have other opportunities. I think we can take on other opportunities. I think we can continue to support our athletes. And not, I'm not down on the Olympics. I'm happy to support our athletes to go be on the world stage at the Olympics. But it's an opportunity cost. And, you know, I've joked around and had a lot of response to people. You know, if I said, what if the plebiscite question was, say no to the Olympics and say yes to an NHL arena event center? And people say, hell yeah, that's actually what we want. So, you know, it is one event. It doesn't transform the city. And the yes side is saying this isn't a panacea. You know, every city has lots of problems and lots of issues. No one event is going to solve them. But there's a choice there. And there's opportunity cost. If you head down one path, that means other things you are saying no to. And Calgary needs to think about that. So it is looking beyond that bid book, beyond the Olympics, and where our city is today and how we want to go forward.
How reasonable is it to suggest, with the history we have, you know, I guess, I don't know what you'd call the modern era of Olympics or not, but the average cost overruns 165%. And it's not all dictatorships or authoritarian regimes. I can't say the right word. My apologies.
Is the average cost included with those guys, though?
Pardon me?
Is the average cost, is that 155% or whatever it was?
165% of the budgeted cost. Now, a lot of this is due to infrastructure projects added on. But it feels unfair to ask Calgarians to say yes or no when we don't know what's going to be tacked on. But they all do come from tax dollars. They are not flown in by, you know, storks in the sky. Oh, here's a brand new green line. I mean, there is certainly, cities do have the history of doing major infrastructure projects after the bid's in and say, oh, the world's coming. But that's not what we're being faced with next week. That seems a little unfair, because the full cost, even though you have a contingency fund, we don't know. And the cost overruns, correct me if I'm wrong, anything overrun falls on one pile of people only, and that's people that pay taxes in Calgary.
Right, and it's entirely up to us to decide what, it's entirely up to our city council, really, to decide what gets added on.
Whether it's something or nothing at all.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Is that where you see major
concern? That is within our control.
Yeah, okay.
Right? I mean, people talk about it as though it's something that the IOC is going to impose on us.
Right.
Those are decisions that are made by the community.
Right.
Right? And as a community, we can reject those decisions.
There are things in the program that are not yet budgeted. So we know the cost will be higher than what's on paper
Can
now.
Can you give us an example?
A lot of the, there's a whole IOC cultural kind of component that's required, and that hasn't been actually built in at this point. So we know it'll be more, and then the city has obligations just to go forward with hosting, not the extras and bells and whistles, but just required things the city would have to invest in. And so they've gone on record, both that Olympic Oversight Committee and full city council has gone on record saying there are additional costs to what's in the bid book already today known. Again, that's not right or wrong. That could be okay. Those could be good things. But
they could be things that already form part of the contingency.
They could be, for sure. There is a contingency there, for sure.
A massive contingency.
We've talked a lot about, you know, some of the hard questions on the yes side. I do, from the no side, you know, Emma's talked a lot about the boost that this could give the Calgary economy and what this could do for Calgary as a city. Do you see on the no side that there could be benefits of the Olympics coming to Calgary? Is there, you know, despite the fact that your group is firmly saying this is not good for Calgary, could there still be benefits that you could see when looking at it objectively?
I think there's a fabulous legacy opportunity here by saying no. Having the other two bid cities drop off and the IOC gets a really strong message that there is more reform to do. So there's been a lot of talk of picking one or two cities, you know, maybe a summer and a winter city, and having them host for two or three cycles. And so you'd end up building those things for and have them for 12 years and three Olympics over that period, and then you'd plan differently, and you'd spread those costs over a longer period and have chance to get better value out of them. There are ways that the IOC could much further reform and make a different situation for the host city, and I would love to say no to them now, get them to get their act together, return to the true Olympic spirit and the spirit of sport, because they're way far removed from that. And wouldn't that be a cool legacy if we were known around the world as the city that stood up to the IOC and actually got them to reform what's in that spirit of, you know, the Olympic movement? I'd be darn proud of that. So there's lots of ways of looking at legacy. There's lots of ways of coming at this, and that one appeals to me.
When I think about that, I think about, you know, we know that we've actually got we do know that Salt Lake is looking at things if people drop out here, even for 2026. And we know that they're looking at that for Argentina, and Argentina's looking at that as well. So I think the best way for this to happen and for us to have a conversation with the IOC about changing the Olympic legacy is for us to do exactly what we did in 1988. And that was a time before that the Olympic legacy was dying again. And Calgary did it in a way that hadn't been done before. And it was the best Olympics that had been hosted in an incredible amount of time. And so we did have that transformative experience with the IOC back then. Of course, things happen over the years, but this is another opportunity for us to have that conversation. And I think that conversation happens by saying yes. I mean, Erin and I sit here, and you know, we've done a couple of these panels together, and the thing that we both believe in this community, right? And we both believe in this city, and we both are volunteering our time on this for that. And we have disagreements about some things, but you know, I think fundamentally agree on a lot of values for the city. So even though as we talk about this and we shake out different ideas as to could more change happen with the IOC? Yeah, absolutely. Erin thinks that happens by us saying no. I think we can control that by saying yes.
You both brought up vacancy rates downtown.
Yeah.
How firmly do you believe in each of your particular stances that the answer you give will help vacancy downtown? Because both have used that as a weapon, which I find very interesting, because we know it's a major issue here.
Yeah, it is.
But both yes and no think they can help that problem.
Yeah.
Just maybe explain why.
Well, I believe in that because I think we've seen what happened to Vancouver, and Vancouver really has thrived post-Olympics. So did Salt Lake City. I think this is an opportunity for us to actually get on the world stage and reframe and really leverage all of the work that has been going on with Calgary Economic Development for a long time. And it's a way to do it, like I said, I don't see any other way for us to attract $4.4 billion in cash to this city.
Is it fair to say it's all coming to the city?
I think it's
so here's an example. Part of the investment return that's measured by Bidco 2026 is Calgarians buying tickets. Look at all this economic activity. That's already money held by Calgarians. It's not new. It hasn't been created. It's existing in the same hands it always was.
Well, it's not just Calgarians buying tickets,
but
like Calgarians are a small portion of the ticket revenue.
Is it a small
revenue.
Portion?
Yeah, it's a relatively small portion of the ticket revenue.
Do you know
revenue.
What percentage it is or no?
No, I don't.
But
I would think it'd be considerable.
There's going to be Calgarians are going to go to this, 100%,
but it's also a worldwide
event. But so does the rest of the world,
sure.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah. But to include 100% of ticket revenue is a little misleading in my mind, because of course a lot of it will not, maybe I don't know what percentage, but certainly Calgarians are paying for this. That's not new money to Calgary,
right? But when people buy Flames tickets, that's still considered Flames revenue.
But it's not considered ROI on an original investment. I mean, I'm getting back to the Bidco 10 times thing.
Yeah.
Same with the Whistler and Canmore investments, and same with things like security costs all around the world. For instance, London, the job creation in London, half of those jobs did not go to Londoners.
And
maybe that's, it's not a bad thing. It just means it's not the impact on that city.
And so, but
London's economy was also booming at the time, right?
Aaron, just a final thought on the vacancy, because I jumped in before you had a chance to answer that. Just a thought on downtown vacancy and what the Olympics saying no to it, how that would help that situation.
I honestly don't buy that the companies that have moved to Vancouver moved because Vancouver hosted the Olympics. I just don't see that relationship. I do think it will take a concerted effort to change what's going on in our downtown, and I just don't think hosting the Olympics is the best way to get there. I think that's a distraction from what we need to do rather than on point.
And when I talk about this too, when it's not a straight line, right? Like, it's not a straight line from we hosted the Olympics, a company chose to come here. It's about, you know, whenever you sort of start your first brand proposition, right, and your marketing stuff, awareness is number one, right? And so really it's about an awareness campaign. About,
I think people know Calgary's here.
I disagree. I think people don't understand, quite frankly, the kind of city that we are. I mean, I know we have, The Economist puts out that we're the fourth most livable city in the world, but I still don't think that our brand and the rest of the world actually quite understands that. I think we're not competing against Toronto and Vancouver in terms of attracting the kind of businesses that they're attracting right now. And we should be right in the heart of that mix.
First of all, I want to thank you guys both for coming in. This has been really informative stuff. I love the fact that you are both as passionate on your stances as you are, and yet had a really respectful and engaging and really informative discussion. So I really do appreciate that. Just as we wrap up, I think that closing statements, just kind of to summarize both of your thoughts. If people are just tuning in, we are going to replay this later, but if you're just tuning in now, we'll start with you, Aaron, on the no side, just where you are, the summary of your stance.
I think the cost risk is huge, and I think the opportunity is overstated, and we can build a great city and continue to build on our great city by doing things other than working with the IOC.
And Emma, your closing statement, and to summarize where you are on this conversation.
I think we've been presented with a great deal for the city of Calgary. I think we attract a lot of outside dollars in order to get this done, and I think it's time that we started to say yes to ourselves.
Really good stuff, guys. I really appreciate the time. Thank you for taking an hour out of our day, out of your day, rather, to come into our broom closet.
Adding an hour to our day.
Adding an hour to our day, for sure.
Sorry, guys.
See, there goes that multiplier effect again. Thank you very much, guys.
By the way, if you're looking to engage on Twitter, so on and so forth, you've got MMA, who is on the Yes side. She's with Yes Calgary 2026 on Twitter at Emma May. MMA. It's a very clever, because the first time
that's
I
clever,
said
yeah.
It was clever. And then it is Aaron Waite 42 on Twitter. Aaron Waite is behind the No YYC Olympics. And again, really informative conversation.